Hello, ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to another episode of Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. Houston's community station, 90.1 FM and FM HD1. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is syndicated and it airs on other radio stations in different cities in the US and Europe. Did you know that the month of April is National Arab American Heritage Month? In this episode of Arab Voices, episode number 1055, that will be our topic. I will talk about the Arab American Heritage Month, and in celebration of that, I will also air some of the remarks delivered at the National Arab American Medical Association Houston Chapter's 12th Biennial Ben Qurra Medical Award Gala that celebrated the achievements of prominent scientists of Arab origin who have made major contributions to science, medicine, and healthcare. Before we talk about the National Arab American Heritage Month, I want to share with you, in case you have not seen or heard, what apartheid Israel did over the past few days. Well, it escalated again and again its horrific, brutal crimes against the Palestinians. This time, its occupation forces stormed Al-Aqsa Mosque in occupied Jerusalem and started attacking and beating Palestinian worshippers praying inside the mosque during this holy month of Ramadan. They used batons, fired bullets at the Palestinians, as well as stun grenades. Many were injured, and Israeli occupation forces arrested more than 500 Palestinian men and women and removed them from the mosque. The scenes caught on video are extremely horrific. Men and women on the ground inside the mosque being beaten repeatedly by the Israeli occupation forces. The images were so horrific, it is hard to describe. But this was not the first time we've seen the brutality of apartheid Israel's forces in action, and we have been talking about them and covering them for years on this show. There was worldwide condemnations for Israel's actions, but again and again, words are just that, words. Action speaks loud, and unless concrete measures, actions are taken to stop apartheid Israel's ongoing ethnic cleansing of Palestine, nothing will change as Israel enjoys full impunity for its crimes, funded and supported by the U.S. tax dollars. So the month of April is National Arab American Heritage Month, a celebration and recognition of Arab Americans, their rich culture, heritage, and their contributions. Arab Americans have always been, and for hundreds of years, a vital part of the American society. According to the Arab American Institute, Arab immigrants began coming to the United States in sizable numbers during the 1880s. Today, it is estimated that nearly 3.7 million Americans trace their roots to an Arab country. Arab Americans are found in every state, but more than two-thirds of them live in just 10 states: California, Michigan, New York, Florida, Texas, New Jersey, Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. Metropolitan Los Angeles, Detroit, and New York are home to one-third of the population. The majority of Arab Americans are native-born, and nearly 82% of Arabs in the United States are citizens. While the community traces its roots to every Arab country, the majority of Arab Americans have ancestral ties to Lebanon, Syria, Palestine, Egypt, and Iraq. Arabs are ethnically, religiously, and politically diverse, but descend from a common linguistic and cultural heritage. For example, not all Arabs are Muslims, and not all Muslims are Arabs. For over a century, Arab Americans have made countless contributions to every aspect of the American society. In education, literature, law, art, science, astronomy, medicine, business, economy, technology, government, culture, film, poetry, storytelling, philosophy, politics, cooking, architecture, arts and crafts, language and calligraphy, music, and a whole lot more. I'd like to recommend a documentary for you to watch. You can search for it online. It is called 1001 Journeys, The Arab Americans. This documentary provides viewers with a first-ever glimpse of the Arab Americans' experience told through the eyes of famous and everyday people. Mapping the arc of American history, the film explores early and multiple waves of immigration along with the tremendous impact of 9/11 on the Arab American community and its challenges and dreams in light of the zeitgeist. 1001 Journeys, The Arab Americans, is the untold story of almost 200 years of the contributions of those who immigrated to the United States from the Middle East, North Africa, and the Gulf have made to the American fabric. Many officials and governmental agencies, local, state, and national, as well as several school districts across the United States, issued National Arab American Heritage Month proclamations. The President of the United States, Joe Biden, issued a historic proclamation recognizing National Arab American Heritage Month for the month of April 2023. In that proclamation, President Biden said, quote, "This month we join together to celebrate the immeasurable contributions of Arab Americans to our nation and recommit ourselves to the timeless work of making sure that all people have the opportunity to achieve the American dream," unquote. President Biden also said, quote, "Today, the achievements of Arab Americans are reflected in the arts and sciences, in businesses and faith communities, in classrooms and hospitals, and in police stations, firehouses, and every branch of the military. Arab Americans are also proudly serving throughout my administration, bringing a diversity of expertise that help make this country stronger, more prosperous, and more just," unquote. I have a link to President Biden's proclamation on our website, arabvoices.net. Several Arab American organizations usually hold events during the National Arab American Heritage Month to celebrate the rich culture, history, and heritage, and to tell the Arab American story, including national organizations like the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, the Arab American Institute, the Arab American National Museum, and locally in Houston, the Arab American Cultural and Community Center. I have links to those organizations on our website, arabvoices.net. There is no doubt that the contributions of Arab Americans have helped build a better nation. And speaking of the Arab American contributions to the American society and beyond, I'm going to air now some of the remarks delivered at the Houston chapter of the National Arab American Medical Association's 12th Biennial Bin Qurra Medical Award Gala, held on February 4, 2023 in Houston, Texas. Named for the 8th century Arab physician, Thabit bin Qurra, renowned for his work to modernize mathematics and medicine, the Biennial bin Qurra Award Gala celebrates the achievements of prominent scientists of Arab origin who have made major contributions to science, medicine, and healthcare, and honors those who have made remarkable contributions in the field of medicine and who have succeeded in the worldwide advancement of science. This year's honorees were Dr. Hannah El Sahli, Dr. Elias Jabour, Dr. Zaina Al Muhtasib, and from the 2020 pandemic selection, Dr. Nizar Tanir. I attended the gala and recorded it, which by the way had the highest attendees they ever had, about 400. And in this episode of Arab Voices, I will air the remarks delivered at the gala by some of the honorees. I will air the remarks of Dr. Nizar Tanir, Dr. Zaina Al-Muhtasib, and Dr. Hannah Al-Sahli. Because of the time limit, I will not air the remarks of Dr. Elias Jabour, but I posted a link to his remarks on our website, arabvoices.net. So let's listen in, and the voice you will hear first is that of Amir Zahir, a Palestinian Arab-American comedian, speaker, writer, academic, and adjunct professor, who was the master of ceremonies at the gala.
We're going to move on to our first award tonight. Before we do, a couple words about NAMA. NAMA was founded in 1975, and this award that is established tonight, the Bin Qurra Award, was established in 1998 by Dr. Samir Tuma, and which means that we should be close to like the silver anniversary of this award. And the Houston chapter here has been around since 1979, so there's been a lot of wonderful work going into this community. So please help me welcome the first presenter tonight, Dr. Christopher Logothetis.
So thank you. One of the great gifts in life is to be able to see one of your friends, peers, colleagues who've inspired and guided you being recognized by others as well for his work. So Nizar Tanir, I knew when he came as a fellow at MD Anderson. He went on to private practice, and then he returned to a very successful academic career. He's made many achievements, and these are enumerated, but I'd actually like to stay at his core values and what's guided us, the department that he eventually took over when I stepped down. The department is recognized in the institution and has always been a leader in mentoring young faculty and training people. Nizar is responsible for that. We're always recognized as being among the first and the best for achieving that. His passion for those around him and his peers to make sure that they benefit from the environment that's been created, as all of us have, is one that has really guided him. But that's only one of his dimensions. The other dimension is the benefit for patients who he's seen. When he started with his interest in renal cell carcinoma, there were very few therapies. Desolate field, treatment options limited, and the best you could do is hope for some good luck, and maybe a drug would work that didn't work in most. He's among those who have stewarded the development of drugs, focused on the need of patients, and is recognized nationally and internationally as a leader in this field with the unique perspective of seeing this through the eye of the patient, which has made him a very effective investigator. So he's not only an expert for treating the patients of today, but his narrow focus and understanding of the limitations of our current therapy and his humility, not the hubris that so many suffer from, has allowed him to see the limitations and prepare for the treatments of tomorrow that he's witnessed the advances of. One of the biggest interests he's been in is a very unique disease that a subset of our citizens who don't get access to healthcare, medullary carcinomas, a scientific detail, was actually a focus of a very lethal disease in patients that was uninterested. He combined his skills of mentoring people, passion for care, and vision for the future, embraced his young colleague, Dr. Masao, and they have made the first advances both in understanding this disease and linking it to treatment outcome in a time span that would be considered a lightning speed. So these are all advances that seem like they're significant, and getting this accolade, like so many people who've achieved his level, would be one of walking up in all these podiums and assembling all these awards and putting them in your cabinet. That's not Nizar. Nizar understands his heritage. He, like I, come from a neighborhood, a homeland that's very challenged. We're both immigrants. And he knows his obligation to take the gifts that this country has given him and apply them so he can return to the advances of humanity, science, that actually have characterized his ancestors, so he can help strengthen his country and return the gift he's been given. He understands that this time of achievement is a time for maximum humility, second effort to make an impact on the future. He's reached that point in his career where he can't settle on his accolades, but he understands, and I see this daily, recognize he's acquired this responsibility to impact the next generation. So, in somebody who I've had the pleasure of walking with this thorny path, and he's helped lighten the path forward, you should be very proud of Nizar. If you're not, I don't understand you. And he's one of your shining lights that will help strengthen you and bring much light to the future. So, Nizar.
I prepared my speech here, and unlike my mentor and friend, Dr. Logothetis, I couldn't really speak to you because I know this will be a very emotional night for me, and I will be choking up, and I wouldn't be able to continue without really having my papers. But I want to thank Dr. Tuma for his service for this organization. He's a trailblazer. We wouldn't be here, as Dr. Muqaddam said, if it weren't for him and his vision. So thank you, Samir. So, assalamu alaikum, good evening, everyone. I'm humbled and honored to receive this award tonight and would like to start by thanking the people who helped me along my journey since I came from Lebanon 41 years ago. After I completed fellowships in medical oncology and hematology, I was recruited to start a cancer program in Hazard, Kentucky, in the Appalachian Hills of southeastern Kentucky. What was supposed to be a two-year stint serving the underserved population there, for me to qualify to get a green card, to become an immigrant, that is, ended up being a 14-year enriching experience and one of the most important chapters of my life. I'm grateful to the people of Appalachia who gave me the opportunity to become a naturalized U.S. citizen. My deepest gratitude goes to Dr. Christopher Logothetis, who was my mentor when I was a fellow at MD Anderson, and who in 2001 offered me a position in his department as assistant professor after my 14 years of private practice in Appalachia. He took a chance on me, and I'm grateful for that opportunity, Chris. I hope I did not disappoint you. As I reflect on my career at MD Anderson, I feel a deep gratitude toward two individuals I would like to recognize tonight. To Zita, my physician assistant for 18 plus years, my right hand and my left hand at work. My sounding board and family to me and my family. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. To Pavlos, a half Greek, half Jordanian genius. He is a genius. I had the great honor and good fortune to mentor him when he was a fellow at MD Anderson a few years ago. He's now an accomplished clinical and translational researcher and has a target, kidney cancer. He wants to make history. Thank you, Pavlos, for being part of my life and my journey as well. As Arab Americans in this great city, we are proud of our accomplishments in healthcare, but let's not forget the contributions and success of Arab Americans in other professions. I'm proud of industry leaders, Zin Smati, Bashar Qalai, entrepreneurs Burhan Ajouz, Farouk Shami, Nijat Faris, architects Lina and Murhaf Sabouni, architect Imad Abdullah, professional career woman Mona Ghazal, who is not here tonight with us, Abir Saqr, and Abir Patel, the two Abirs. Thank you. While medieval European medicine was mired in superstitions that considered disease as a punishment from God, the advent of Islam in the 7th century AD gave rise to impressive growth and discoveries in many scientific fields, especially medicine. Islamic doctors and scholars like Ibn Sina, Al-Razi, Ibn Nafis, Al-Zahrawi, Ibn Haytham developed new techniques in medicine, surgery, ophthalmology, and pharmacology. They founded the first hospitals, introduced physician training, and wrote encyclopedias of medical knowledge. But we should also celebrate the achievements of physicians and scientists of Arab origin in the 20th and the 21st century. Peter Mdawar is considered the father of transplantation and was the first Arab laureate from the Arab world and diaspora to win a Nobel Prize in medicine in 1960. In 2021, Lebanese Armenian scientist Ardem Pataputian was one of two winners of the Nobel Prize in physiology or medicine for discovery of receptors of touch for touch, heat, and body movement. But what can Arab American physicians living in the diaspora today do to help our homeland? NAMA and other organizations and societies should be supported to continue their humanitarian work to provide relief to citizens who have been devastated by wars, civil strife, and economic downturn and meltdown. We can and should bring healthcare professionals to train here at our medical centers. We can and should establish scholarships for promising doctors to come here for research and encourage them to go back and continue their research in the homeland. We can. We can and should establish exchange programs such as visiting professorships for faculty to forge research collaborations between our institutions and academic centers in the homeland. Many Arab American physicians and surgeons, several of whom are here tonight, have given much of their time, their expertise, and skilled hands to treat or operate on patients for free. I would like to recognize Doctors Shenak, Fustuk, Ali Al-Himyari, and Busaidi for doing that humanitarian work for free. But we can only strengthen our bridges with the homeland if we are true to our identity and remain engaged and have a sense of belonging. This starts by embracing and celebrating our heritage. We should take pride in our rich language, art, architecture, music, and food. Yes, and food. The couscous is ours. The hummus is ours. The falafel is ours. The kanafi is ours. Now, we can argue if it's best from Gaza or Nablus or Beirut or Sham, but it is ours. I would like to recognize the efforts of Mrs. Lena Sabouni, who helped establish the first federally funded Arabic immersion magnet school in the country, here in Houston. I would like to also recognize the efforts of Dr. Aziz Shaibani and the Arab American Education Fund for establishing chairs for Arab studies at University of Houston and Rice University. Lastly, but most importantly, our strength as a core constituency of American society is dependent not only on our success as individual professionals, but also on our collective political activism. If we want to influence policymaking in our country, we need to support candidates for Congress who share our ideals and support our causes. And at the core of our causes is freedom for Palestine. Only then we will be able to change the political narrative in Washington, D.C. and in the country from the ironclad commitment to one country's security to the ironclad commitment to justice and human rights for every citizen in the Middle East and in the U.S. While we hail from different countries in North Africa and Asia, we share a rich language, a common history, and a glorious heritage. And we are bound by our destiny. When people ask me about my identity, I say, I am American. Yes, I am American. I am Lebanese. I am Arab. I am Muslim. I am a physician. And I am Arab American. I like to close with excerpts from a poem that captures the state of affairs, unfortunately, in our homeland. But that poem yearns for our unity, which I call for tonight. And I'm gonna excuse my colleagues who don't speak Arabic, but our language is so rich with poems, but I hope one day I'll translate that to you. أنا العربي لا أخجل ولدت في تونس الخضراء من أصل عماني وعمري زاد عن 1000 وأمي لم تزل تحبل. أنا العربي في بغداد لي نخل وفي السودان شرياني. أنا مصري موريتانيا وجيبوتي وعماني، مسيحي وسني وشيعي ودرزي وعلوي. سئمنا من تشتتنا وكل الناس تتكتل. Let's and let's be one, united. Thank you very much.
What you just heard were the remarks of Dr. Nizar Tanir, one of the honorees, speaking at the 12th Biennial Bin Qurra Medical Award Gala held on February 4th, 2023 by the Houston chapter of the National Arab American Medical Association. Congratulations to Dr. Nizar Tanir. You're listening to Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Let's continue listening to more remarks delivered by the honorees at the gala.
Our next awardee is our first ever inaugural Rising Star awardee. And in order to introduce her and give her a reward, please help me welcome to the stage Dr. Mitchell Weichert.
Good evening. It is my distinct honor to introduce the recipient of the National Arab American Medical Association's inaugural Rising Star Award, Dr. Zaina Almuhtaseb. And I know she's deeply honored to receive this recognition from an organization that she so deeply respects. As I begin this introduction, I'd first like to congratulate NAMA on their choice of the first individual to receive this prestigious honor. Y'all done good. It feels like a pretty big responsibility to convey to you in just a few minutes what makes Dr. Almuhtaseb, Zaina, so deserving of this recognition. Lucky for me, she's made my job easier with a plethora of accomplishments from which to draw. Zaina was born in Jordan, and at the age of 9, moved with her family across the ocean to Beaumont, Texas, where her parents furthered their studies at Lamar University. An experience probably shared by many in this room, she was faced at a very young age with the daunting tasks of learning a new language, making new friends, continuing her own academic pursuits, and just figuring out where she fit in a new society. I don't know if it was the plasticity of youth, her innate can-do attitude, her natural abilities, or a combination of all three, but she certainly thrived in the face of these significant challenges, an early glimpse of what was to come. 2 years later, the family moved to Sugar Land, Texas, where they were fortunate to benefit from its diverse population and supportive Arab community. She rose through the ranks at Clements High School, matriculated to the University of Texas at Austin, and graduated with highest honors with her sights set on a career in medicine. Dr. Almuhtaseb enrolled at Baylor College of Medicine in the summer of 2004, envisioning a career in neurology or neurosurgery. Fortunately for us, her early clinical experiences redirected her toward the adjacent specialty of ophthalmology, and she never looked back. In a recent discussion, she reminded me that her first ophthalmic exposure was during the second half of her second year when she spent her Thursday afternoons with me on my service. We were both surprised when we realized, and a little dismayed, that this was way back in 2007. And while I may have forgotten this detail, I certainly haven't forgotten my first impression. From day one, she demonstrated the qualities that we really hope to see in all the students we train: a keen intellect, an infectious desire for lifelong learning, a selfless drive to pass on her knowledge to others, and a tenacity that results in effective change. Of course, she graduated from medical school with honors and was elected to the Alpha Omega Alpha Medical Honor Society, kind of a foregone conclusion. But we were lucky to match her for residency, where she joined the first class that I supervised as residency program director. Zaina continued her Rising Star trajectory during her residency at Baylor, setting herself apart from a very strong class with her outstanding clinical acumen, surgical skills, and empathetic patient care. She was elected chief resident and was honored with the Schindler Award for High Ethical and Humane Standards at graduation. Following completion of her fellowship in cornea, cataract, and refractive surgery at the Bascom-Palmer Eye Institute, one of the two top fellowships in the country, we were fortunate to recruit her back to Baylor to join our faculty. I must admit that my recruitment efforts were somewhat selfish, as I also lobbied for her to become our first ophthalmology associate program director. To be honest, I really needed the help, but I couldn't imagine anyone more perfect for the role. I was extremely pleased and relieved when she accepted the position and joined our faculty in 2014. It quickly became clear that she was destined for great things in the field of ophthalmology. On a local level, she revamped our surgical curriculum, completed a prolific amount of research, became a tireless advocate for our residents, fellows, and medical students, and delivered innovative clinical and surgical care to our patients. She's authored, if you want the stats, 54 peer-reviewed articles, more than 60 non-peer-reviewed articles and book chapters, and delivered more than 60 abstracts and posters so far. Through her tireless efforts, she quickly became a tenured associate professor and established both a national and international reputation as an innovative surgeon and effective lecturer. She's received multiple teaching awards and has assumed leadership roles in the American Academy of Ophthalmology and the American Society of Cataract and Refractive Surgery, where she chairs the Young Eye Surgeon Committee and furthers her mentorship role. She has been recognized as one of ophthalmology's top 100 ophthalmologists and in Ophthalmology Management Magazine's National Top 40 Under 40. Reviewing Dr. Amatseb's career and accomplishments gave me the opportunity to reflect not only on her experience as an educator, but also my own. I have to say, it's very gratifying to witness someone grow through their training, reap the reward of their hard work, and transition from trainee to colleague and friend. On a personal note, Zane has grown from someone who I taught the fundamentals of our specialty to someone who I rely upon for clinical guidance and moral support. Some of my best memories are of us trying to learn new surgical techniques for the first time, shepherding a struggling resident through to graduation, or figuring out how to manage extremely complicated patients and restore their vision. She's really my go-to person if I want to try anything new or I have any patient that I just really don't know what to do with. And while she has accomplished so much in her short career, rest assured, her highest priority is her family. I admire how she's been able to navigate her many responsibilities, yet still devotes substantial time to her husband, Rami Farasin, her children, Aya and Zaid, and her parents, Nabil Amatseb and Wafa Abdeen. In her continuing and admirable efforts to balance her family life with her demanding career, Dr. Amatseb recently joined the Whitsitt Vision Group to continue her practice and lead their research efforts. While I was, some might say, devastated to lose my partner in crime, I am pleased that she is off to an outstanding start. On a side note, Jeff, I may someday forgive you. Not today, but maybe someday. I hope I've been able to give you a bit of insight into the outstanding individual whom you've chosen as your rising star. As I said at the beginning, y'all done good. You'd be hard-pressed to find someone more deserving. So please join me, her husband Rami, her parents Nabil and Wafa, in congratulating Zainal Amatseb and Nama's inaugural rising star.
So my goal is not to cry, so that's going to be what I'm going to try. Thank you so much, Mitch Weikert, you know, for the speech. And the hardest thing when I left Baylor was telling you that decision. So thank you again. I'm truly honored today to be here and really wanted to thank the people that have supported me throughout my career. But before I do that, in case I'm not able to get through the speech, is that if there's one thing I want the young people that are here today to leave with, is that you can be an Arab American, Muslim, Palestinian immigrant woman and reach your aspirations. And that's truly what this country is about. And I'm so happy for my parents for bringing me here. You know, the key is really to develop mentors and people you aspire to be like, to work hard, and of course, join organizations like NAMA that can help you in your career. So first, I would like to thank the National Arab American Medical Association, the president, Nidal Muqaddam, and all the people that have made this organization so successful since its inception. I was involved even as a medical student, and probably even before, when I wanted to get into medical school. And it's provided me with so many opportunities. So many of you in the room have affected me in one way or the other. And I will forget names, but Aziz and Nizar and Ali and Hashim and the Busaidis and many more, you know, have shaped my career by allowing me to shadow them, you know, volunteer with them, and then join me in health fairs and mentorship opportunities. You know, the people that really give back. So I urge again all the young people in this room to join the organization. I'm also so lucky for my mentors that have paved my path and provided me with knowledge and support along the way. The ones in medicine, the ones that showed me by example, amazing female leaders and physicians and moms like Dr. Rola Sarraj and Huda Zoghbi, who's not with us today but has truly affected me, and Hannah Sahli. They helped me make some of the most important decisions in my life, like not neurosurgery, and academics with Baylor, and then now most recently into private practice. So I thank them again for truly helping me. And then the ones in ophthalmology, many, including Doug Koch, who's not here tonight, and of course Mitch Weichert, who have not only taught me so much of what I know clinically, surgically, and academically, but guided me and supported me even when I didn't follow the expected path, and even when I left Baylor. That just shows who they are as people. Shadowing Mitch Weichert as a second-year medical student and seeing the kind of physician he was the reason I pursued ophthalmology, and he's been my parents' ophthalmologist ever since. And my new colleagues, including the partners Jeff Witsit and Jesse McKee, who's in Cabo today, but that's okay, who I'm lucky to learn from and exchanged ideas in the cataract and refractive field and business of medicine. They believe in me and are supporting me in all my aspirations. They're even here today. And the optometrists and the support staff that are enjoying all the cornea patients and all the clinical trials that we're bringing into this practice. And of course, they did all of that before. And I couldn't really do it without their support. And the goal is excellent patient care in the realm of cataract, LASIK, and cornea surgeries. And I really love being a part of the team. And then I won't forget my physician mom friends, especially Dahlia, Sara, and Leila, who are not only amazing physicians, but are also trying to figure out this crazy life. Each of us have 2 kids, 5 years and younger, and each of us are physicians. Together, we're trying to balance this thing called career and life, which isn't really a thing. There is no balance. But they do remind me that everything's going to be okay, and it's possible that not everything has to be perfect. A small example, you know, my son just hurt himself, and they're already texting which ER we're going to go to right after my speech, where my husband's going to take him. But it just shows you that we can't do this alone. And I really want to thank my amazing husband, Rami. I couldn't do, honestly, any of this without your support and partnership. He puts up with me. He keeps me sane and has been my rock, even in the most difficult 3 years of our lives. And I love him so much. And luckily, he's OCD in different ways than I am, like his love for Excel sheets, which I can't stand. But we're both so appreciative for having our kids, Aya and Zaid, who have been our blessing the past few years. And I'll end by thanking my parents, Wafa and Nabil, because without them, I would not be standing here today. I am who I am because of them, and I truly owe all my success to them. You know, my father sacrificed everything to stay in this country for education. He's the one that made me love medicine, even as a child, with his work ethic, his photographic memory that I can only aspire to have. And my mother, who not only gave all her love and support to me, but who she is as a person, her example is what shaped my personality. Coming to a country as an English teacher and then deciding to go to law school because she thought that immigration attorneys took advantage of us. And so then she became a lawyer in immigration law, joined a nonprofit, and after 20 years ended up being the vice president of the organization. And her strength and persistence through the hardest things. And her strength and persistence through the hardest things that this life can give truly make me lucky to have her as an example. And they really both have dealt with unfathomable things, but yet have still been able to be there for my kids. And I will never, ever forget that. And I appreciate that so much. And I'm so proud of how far they've come. And the last thing I want to say is, I know my brother's watching. And he's wanted me to join private practice for years. And I know he'd be so proud. So, thank you.
Please help me welcome our next presenter to present our next award for us here tonight, Dr. Rula Sarraj.
Good evening. Masa al khair. I am deeply honored to present the prestigious Bin Qura Award to my most esteemed colleague, my dearest friend and sister, Dr. Hannah Al-Sahli. Let us first journey back in time to December of 2020, a difficult and a painful memory for all of us, 9 months into an agonizing lockdown. Over 649 million cases of COVID infections had been reported worldwide, with 6 million tragic deaths. This was the month that the FDA authorized the emergency use approval of the Pfizer vaccine, followed by the Moderna vaccine against COVID-19. Developed at an unprecedented speed, the fastest in the history of vaccine development, without any compromise in safety and efficacy, this feat served as a pivotal moment in the battle against COVID-19. You will be so proud to know that Dr. Al-Sahli served as the lead co-investigator of the research study that led to the emergency approval of the Moderna vaccine, and consequently, her work has impacted every single person in this room tonight tremendously. Protecting each and every one of us and all of our loved ones from the possibility of grave illness, even death, and allowing us to return back to a state of normalcy. Dr. Al-Sahli was born in Beirut to the most charming Lebanese and Palestinian parents, Faryal Zarif and Muhammad Al-Sahli, who have welcomed me most graciously and lovingly to their home in Beirut. Their warmth, hospitality, and dignity was a clear attestation to Dr. Al-Sahli's poise and her poise and mastery. She grew up in the midst of a traumatic and atrocious war in Lebanon, like many of you in the room tonight. Despite adversity and hardship, her Lebanese finesse and ingenuity, combined with her Palestinian work ethic and resiliency, led her to great success, graduating from the American University of Beirut Medical School and completing internal medicine residency at the University of Connecticut, followed by an infectious disease fellowship at Baylor College of Medicine. She is currently professor in both the Department of Medicine and the Department of Molecular Virology and Microbiology at Baylor College of Medicine, dedicating her career to vaccine research, medical education, and patient care with a focus on underserved HIV populations. She became the principal investigator at the NIH-funded vaccine treatment and evaluation unit at Baylor in 2016, conducting translational research of vaccines, notably the influenza vaccine and influenza pandemic preparedness. She has also done critical work on monkeypox and Zika virus. Dr. Al-Sahli's crowning achievement has been her role as the leader of the National COVID-19 Prevention Network at Baylor College of Medicine. Her seminal studies demonstrating clinical efficacy of the drug remdesivir in the treatment of COVID infection significantly improved survival and outcomes, leading to 2 publications in the New England Journal of Medicine. These studies define how persons hospitalized with COVID-19 are treated around the world and are cited in U.S. federal and society treatment guidelines. Furthermore, Dr. Al-Sahli was selected to be one of 3 national co-principal investigators of the critical phase 3 study of the Moderna vaccine. Her team's study of over 30,000 subjects from 99 U.S. states demonstrated greater than 94% protection against any COVID-19 illness and 100% protection against severe illness. She was first co-author of this landmark publication in the New England Journal of Medicine, reporting the results of the analysis that led to the emergency authorization for the Moderna vaccine. Dr. Al-Sahli and her team also contributed significantly to COVID vaccine research in children. Over 248 million doses of Moderna vaccine have been administered in the U.S. alone as of January of 2023, with millions of lives saved. around the globe. This vaccine, along with Pfizer vaccine, formed the backbone of the U.S. vaccination effort. Dr. El-Sahli has established herself as an international leader in vaccine translational research with recognized appointments to the World Health Organization, the National Institute of Health, and the FDA. She is currently serving a second term as the chair of the FDA Vaccine Advisory Committee and recently became the deputy editor of the New England Journal of Medicine Journal Watch in Infectious Diseases. Few scientists in the world today have had such a tremendous global impact. Hard work and perseverance did not come without significant personal sacrifice to Dr. El-Sahli, committing long hours of arduous work, nights and weekends included, on endless Zoom calls, at times with Dr. Fauci himself. Yet she remained a dedicated wife and mother to her husband, Dr. Fadi Jouda, an award-winning poet and physician, and her two beautiful children, Muna and Ziad. To Fadi, Muna, and Ziad, we thank you for the tremendous personal sacrifices you made for all of us during the pandemic. It is not easy having a mom and a wife who is a superhero trying to save the world from a global pandemic. Undoubtedly, Dr. El-Sahli has persevered and transcended significant challenges, pressure, and scrutiny in her medical career, but has done so with grace and dignity. Anyone who knows her personally, as I do, knows that she is full of passion, conviction, integrity, and courage, and she strives for excellence in everything that she does. Fortunately for us and the rest of the world, these were exactly the leadership qualities needed to get this very important job done. Hannah, I am so proud of your remarkable achievements. You are a shining star and an exceptional role model as an Arab American, a woman, and a scientist. Please welcome me in introducing Dr. Hannah El-Sahli.
Thank you, Rula. Thank you for this kind introduction and for nominating me for this award. I am also thankful for the award selection committee for choosing me for the Ben Qurra Award 2023, an award received by people I have always admired, such as Hashim Sarraj, Drs. Huda and William Zoghbi, Dr. Saleh Wakil, and many others that I can only dream of becoming as brilliant as they are. The committee selected me based on my leadership and productivity in clinical research, developing COVID-19 vaccines and therapeutics. Vaccines and therapeutics that began saving lives within less than a year of identifying the virus in Wuhan, China. In the spirit of candidness, I will not discount the role of luck. We actually did luck out, and when I say we, I refer here to all of us, as there are many times where scientists apply rational design to vaccine development and fail miserably, the case in point being HIV. Luckily, SARS-CoV-2 cooperated better than HIV with our scientific efforts. However, as Seneca once said long ago, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. And the preparation I had is really a distillation of the many years of working closely and being mentored by Wendy Keitel, who's with us here in the room. I always call her the sharpest tool in anyone's box. She is a generous and accomplished woman who at one point offered to actually adopt me when I told her about the soup of lettered visas I had to endure from the J to the O to the H. So the Baylor's VTEU and Vaccine Research Center are also a pioneering team in clinical vaccine development from whom I have learned over the years. I have observed giants like Bob Couch and Paul Gleason, and I got to work and continue to work with Dr. Robert Atmar. The names I mentioned above are individuals who generated the data for much of what we know about respiratory viral diseases. The preparation they imparted on me included also an understanding of the epidemiology of viruses, the inner workings of vaccine developments with a focus on safety evaluation, especially in the early phases of development. And importantly, teamwork. The virus was identified in January 2020, and it was time to put the preparation to work. The NIH and Operation Warp Speed turned the VTUs and other clinical research network to design and implement studies at lightning speeds and at scales many of these centers have never experienced. My involvement was upstream and downstream in the process, designing and implementing the vaccines. Everything was high stakes. However, everything had a meaning. So every day I could not wait to wake up and go to work. Every day had its own sense of urgency, its own sense of meaning, even if it meant working long hours, days, nights, etc. For that, I relied on what I've learned over the years, but I also relied on co-investigators in the VTEU, other infectious diseases and pulmonologists who have never done research, but they were gracious enough to learn about our research and refer patients and refer and even explain studies to patients so they can engage in clinical research. For a year, and I was also lucky enough to have the support of my nuclear family, my husband, Fadi Juda, whom I celebrate. It gets better. Whom I celebrated marrying this day in 2006. To my daughter, Mona, who kept saying she will not go out a lot so she doesn't get COVID, so I can stay, she doesn't bring it home, so I can keep working. And my son, Zuzu, who kept me up to date on all the irrelevant sports news that I cared for then did not care for. And I had, obviously, my Houston friends, my rocks, all of whom are here today. For months on end, they kept me sane, well-fed, and recalibrated my perspective whenever I ended up going to extremes. But as y'all would imagine, it wasn't without hardship. Much like the whimsical funding cycles have resulted in only a couple of laboratories in the country working on coronaviruses before the pandemic hit, our unit was at a relatively low funding cycle with a small crew. The logarithmic increase in work did not mean that the glacial pace of human resources and compensation and administration was going to change. All it meant is that we just had to do it. Job descriptions meant little, and many of us were doing one job and all jobs at the same time. And let's not forget that emotions were flying high everywhere, and they probably still are, creating other challenges. However, on a Sunday afternoon, on yet another call with the NIH in November 2020, it all came together. We were shown the data. We had to do a double take and on the high efficacy we observed, and the next chapter of vaccine rollout began. In the above journey, as it applies to COVID-19 research or infectious diseases in general, I would like also to acknowledge and thank some non-formal mentors and inspirations along the way. First, my parents, Muhammad and Fifi, and my siblings, Wafa, Sana, and Saleh, who always expected and asked for more, and to whom I go for pilgrimage each year to get to load up on love and wherewithal and come back. Our family doctor, Dr. Lama, whose rich Palestinian family bankrolled the Egyptian cinema, but he spent his medical career in his quasi-pro bono clinic on the outskirts of Burj al Barajni refugee camp, treating Palestinians and poor Lebanese in my neighborhood of Dahiyeh. My illiterate grandma, who was the smartest person in any room, including probably this room too, Dan Musher, who refuses to be pigeonholed as an expert on anything, so he researches, talks, writes about any idea, topic that damn well pleases him. And the 90-year-old woman, the peddler of vegetables from the neighboring refugee camp with a tattooed face, who had an unparalleled curiosity and engagement with all things alive. They all personify what a poet once said, resemblance is for the sand grains. That brings me to a final reflection on our interaction with individuality, which was something we claim that we value all so much. However, in ID and in a few other medical specialties, we are witnessing a concerning trend. Many young medical students and trainees are foregoing their inclinations and their talents for these medical professions, such as ID and rheumatology, for example, for other better paying specialties. Some of it out of necessity because they come with loans, but a lot of it is for concern of being viewed as making less profitable choices. Hence, we are artificially engineering the choices of our next generation. And as this pandemic has shown, we can neglect investing in the rainbow of medical choices of young residents at our own peril. That was not a metaphor. In the same vein, my generation and the one that preceded it continue to celebrate the scientist physician, yet at the same time turning the horizon of their career path into a cyclical labyrinth at the mercy of precarious funding, effectively pushing away many a young talent. The pandemic had made us stop life as we know it, and for sometimes examine and adjust. And a renewed appreciation and restructuring of our administration of medicine and research can benefit from examining and some adjusting. And I am hopeful, as I turn to the eastern shore of the Mediterranean, that shore doesn't only lead to the slow-mo horror movie that is the destruction of Palestine, Lebanon, Syria, further inland Iraq. It is also the shore where my dad would say each white frothy wave signifies a chance at renewal. So with much hope and gratitude, shukran, my Houston family.
What you just heard were the remarks of some of the honorees speaking at the 12th Biennial Bin Qurra Medical Award Gala held on February 4th, 2023, organized by the Houston chapter of the National Arab American Medical Association. Dr. Ilyas Jabbour was also honored at the gala, but because of the time limit, I won't be able to air his talk, but I posted a link to his remarks on our website, arabvoices.net. Congratulations to all the honorees, Dr. Nizar Tanir, Dr. Zaina Al-Muhtasib, Dr. Hannah Assahli, and Dr. Ilyas Jabbour, and congratulations to the National Arab American Medical Association Houston chapter for its continued success and all the work it does. You've been listening to Arab Voices, originating on KPFT Houston and syndicated on other radio stations in different cities in the U.S. and Europe. Our shows are archived online, and you can listen to them by visiting arabvoices.net. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week, peace on earth.